is approval of the minutes of April 20th. Any modifications or changes to the minutes as presented? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Move approval.
Motion by Mr. Deegan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Kaufman. Any further discussion on the minutes? Chair hearing none. Questions called. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the motion is agreed to. Next item on the agenda this morning are the action items, and the first item is the Metro Access Ad Hoc Advisory Committee, which Mr. Kaufman chaired, and I'll yield to Mr. Kaufman for a presentation on that. Mr. Tanglini would like to...
Just a quick moment, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair. I think it's important for me to just make comment to the board about a very productive meeting we had up in New York on Tuesday with Alstom Transportation Corporation about the rail cars. I know you've all heard about the rail car issue, and I know it was reported in the paper, and I just thought it was important that I follow up with the board very quickly about that. We discussed our 6000 series, our new rail cars, and we believe that for the most part the problems associated with the center pin have been resolved, and we're back on to schedule for 50 cars by the end of the year. And we'll be coming to you in July, the first week of July, to talk about the service impact of that change in schedule delivery. The rehabilitation project, we expressed our serious concerns to Alstom about the way that project has been running. They presented to us a Get Well plan that we will be working over the next 2 weeks to determine its viability, the schedule impacts, and frankly, the options available to the authority. We'll also be coming back in the first week of July and reporting to the board at the appropriate committee about what our recommended course of action going forward. I just wanted to make sure that the committee, that the board was aware of this issue, and I appreciate your giving me a few moments to do that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Tanglini. With that, we'll move on to the agenda item, Mr. Kaufman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're going to be talking for a bit about an extremely productive effort, and what is coming before us is a proposed long-range solution that will focus on contract and performance monitoring and will provide us with objective measures by which we can evaluate service quality, and I want to emphasize that word quality. As my colleagues will recall, on February 16th, on Mayor Ewell's initiative, the board created an ad hoc committee, and Mrs. Mack asked myself and Dennis Jaffe, and Dennis, I believe you're in the room, to co-chair this. And we were joined by a number of advocates, customers. But one of the first things we realized is we needed more professional expertise. And the good news is the Transportation Planning Board of COG had already spent over 2 years evaluating how to ensure quality services for those with disabilities. And we were able to tap Wendy Concher and also the mayor of Tacoma Park and others, and they assembled a group of customers, advocates, and model service providers, and came up with 11 specific recommendations to improve service. What we have before us today is a series of items that are both cost neutral, and those will require review so we know how much they will cost. And specific actions for this committee and then next to the board would be to first amend the Metro Access late cancellation and no-show policy to be more customer-friendly, to enable customers to cancel their trips without penalty up to 2 hours prior to the beginning of the scheduled pickup window. Amending the Metro Access ADA paratransit plan so customers can reserve access trips up to 7 days in advance instead of 14 is being put in place to allow tighter, more dependable scheduling. And adopting the cost-neutral recommendations is outlined in this report that hopefully my colleagues have had a chance to review. And those are mainly focused on communication and scheduling. And also initiate and award a consultant contract for the financial analysis of the cost recommendations. And those are focused on items like door-to-door service, staffing levels, and the potential for same-day service. This, again, took a lot of work. I'd like to particularly thank my colleague, Mr. Smith, who attended every meeting. Also, good staff support. And again, especially thank Wendy Consler and the Transportation Planning Board for allowing her to devote so much of her time, and my colleague, Dennis Jaffe. So with that, with the chair's indulgence, my colleague's indulgence, I just ask if Mr. Jaffe and then Ms. Consler might have a word or two.
Without objection. Jaffe. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to talk very, very briefly this morning, and for the opportunity to have served on the ad hoc Metro Exodus Advisory Committee. I would very much like to thank and commend Chairman Gladys Mack for having the wisdom and the openness to establish the ad hoc advisory committee with the composition that it had, with Ms. Porter, Mayor Kathy Porter of Tacoma Park, who chairs the Transportation Planning Board's Access for All Committee. The report that came out early this year in late January, early February, co-authored by Wendy Cloncher of the Transportation Planning Board and Jill Locantori. That report was critical of Metro Access. It was well received in terms of its credibility, and for the agency to have the openness to place on the committee, Ms. Porter, I think, spoke volumes in terms of its commitment to not sweeping things under the rug. I'd very much like to thank, in addition to the people who we've already made reference to, two other individuals, Mary Williams, who is chairwoman of the Writers Advisory Council Subcommittee on Metro Access, who in my early conversations on the Writers Advisory Council helped educate me on what is it like to be a Metro Access writer. What are the travails of going through that experience? One should not have to experience higher levels of stress and potential threats to one's health when one qualifies for Metro Access. One should not experience greater threats to one's health by riding Metro Access. We're very, very pleased, I have to say, to see that improvements have been made this year. The number of complaints, at least that I hear, speaking for myself, have gone down in severity and in volume. Problems do remain. Lastly, the recommendations that are going to be discussed today, I think, if approved, are the first set of two sets of recommendations that have the potential to raise the quality of service, as Mr. Kaufman referenced, to the level that riders deserve. The implementation of those policies and procedures, and the devil's in the details, and accountability and monitoring staff performance is absolutely so key. The work of the advisory committee is not done. Once we see possible approval of any changes, the monitoring of performance is really absolutely key. We won't know that service is truly improved until we see monitoring of performance show positive results. The last comment that I'd simply like to make is the absolute importance of encouraging and embracing quality grassroots organizing and advocacy and speaking out by individuals who ride Metro Access, people who have ridden and organized and spoken out, and who I hope will continue to speak out as to what is going on. Without the voices of people who ride Metro Access coming to forums and speaking to board members and members of the Riders Advisory Council, we want to see MV embrace. We want to see MV embrace continued grassroots speaking out by folks who can, in an independent way, speak to what the experience is of Metro Access riders. And thank you very, very much to Dana Kaufman. He truly gave the opportunity to other to Riders Advisory Council members and other members of the public to have their voice heard. Serving with him and with Mr. Smith on the Ad Hoc Advisory Committee was a privilege, and I thank you and look forward to the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Jaffe. Mrs. Contra.
Thank you very much. I echo all the comments made by both Mr. Kaufman and Ms. Jaffe, and thank them for their leadership in doing this committee, because it really, what I've seen happen over the last couple months is really a watershed effort in terms of a watershed change in attitudes about Metro Access, and it makes me very hopeful that this program is going to be as good as it can be. In my mind, the three most important recommendations are the one that you are very smartly asking for consultant help to cost out, because you all can get prices from on this, but you know, the differentiation is you really want the cost, and you can spend your money smarter by hopefully doing this. But those three recommendations that are really critical are increasing the staffing levels for both scheduling and dispatch at MV Transportation, increasing the staffing levels within Metro Access so that the oversight and contract monitoring can be done, and then the door-to-door service. Those are really critical. And I just really appreciate the efforts you all have done to bring in people with disabilities and have them be part of coming up with these solutions, because they're well supported by both paratransit industry experts and persons with disabilities. I'd also like to thank all the members on the best practices working group that I chaired, who made my work much easier, two of which I know are in the audience, Mary Williams and Carolyn Bellamy, and also Craig Kwasinski for his of the Metro staff for his excellent support of the group, and Christian Kent for his participation. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, before I yield it back to you for any questions and comments, I wanted to particularly thank as well Mary Williams and Pat Sheehan, because as we bring this phase to a close, and we may need to bring back the committee to look at the consultant's report, but I'd also like to thank Pat and Mary for agreeing to pull their two groups together to continue to serve as an advisory directly to the Metro Board, because we need to hear directly from our customers, and that's the best way to make it happen. Also, Christian Kent for his work, and while it's with some pain, but with a bit more joy, that I recognize Steve Yaffe, who's a member of the best practice, who has made it work for Fairfax County, and was recognized by Ms. Conster for providing the model service, is now going to do what he did for Fairfax one notch better here at Metro and elevate that success to the regional level. So look forward to having you on board. And also our general manager for taking this very seriously. So, Mr. Smith.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kaufman. I do want to add that, you know, during the course of the meetings of the committee, I think it was very deliberative, very direct, very organized, And I think we focused very well on the issues at hand. But definitely we owe a debt of gratitude to COG for lending us Wendy Concher, because you certainly brought passion and direction and focus to every meeting that I fear might not have been there had you taken the effort and the passion that you took with the issue. And I appreciate you doing that, because time is valuable to all of us, and I think you made it all very worthwhile. Mrs. Mack.
Thank you. I just want to second everything that has already been said about this effort and how important it was. I think it also has another significance, and that is it was the first effort that was co-chaired by the board and the RAC. And it certainly proved the advantage of having the RAC, so that we could have a way to bring our customers directly into discussion with the board. And just to thank Mr. Kaufman and Mr. Jaffe for their leadership in that regard, I was able to attend a couple of the meetings, and the thing that I brought away from the effort was that the members of our existing advisory committee, Mr. Sheehan, and members of the RAC really felt that this was this effort raised the profile of Metro Access and showed the seriousness of the authority and COG and our other stakeholders to work together for advancement of the program. So I think it was an excellent effort, and I look forward to other cooperative efforts with our RAC and our board in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mack. Mr. Linton.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I applaud all that's been worked, all that has been done, all that's been said, and I'm not going to repeat what's been said. But I would add that I will note that going forward, we've had a very good effort from a Blue Ribbon panel to talk about forward funding for Metro. But I also would like to always call out that that Blue Ribbon panel did not deal with the issues that relate to Metro Access. And the funding for these initiatives and and I am not questioning the recommendations because I think they are sound. But it all you know, freedom is not free, and also requires money. And my view is that we would like to have the same advocacy looking at those who need to help us with the funding going forward to keep this program vital. It does provide a vital, lifelong needed service, and we need to continue to support that. We need to raise the level of information so that those who have to help us with the dollars in the long term keep this issue on the front burner rather on the back burner, which is where it is now.
Thank you, Mr. Linton. Mrs. Hudgens?
Thank you very much. I want to start by, again, echoing the role that the Transportation Planning Board played with Mayor Porter and Wendy's help in terms of first getting that very strong recommendations, and I think they were sort of the groundwork of where we have gone with this, because they were, I think, very thorough and involved a large group of members of the Metro Access customer base. And that's really the basis under which I think we at Metro can grow from in terms of bringing together the customers as well as seeing the issues in a much broader sense than I think we have had the opportunity of looking at them. I think as we go through each of these that we keep in mind that what we are attempting to do with the Metro Access system is to see that the transportation service that we provide to our larger customer base is a service that will be hopefully seamless in terms of quality for all of the customers that are there. And I think that was a strong point that was made in the TPB report, that we would like to get to a point where we see a little differentiation in quality of service and delivery of that service. And I guess the last thing I have to say is that you have stolen the best of the best. And while we have been quiet in Fairfax with some of the issues because of FastTran's excellent service delivery, I can only look at it as a win-win piece in that we will have the same service throughout the region and we'll all be able to share with that, because I think Mr. Yaffe brings an exceptional quality of service and an understanding of the community, and regrettably, I guess we'll share.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudgens. Mr. Kaufman, for the first of a motion.
Yes, before we lose the buzz, I move approval.
I second.
Was there a second? Mrs. Mack, did you second?
Yes.
You did second?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. It's moved by Mr. Kaufman as the staff has presented the resolution, and seconded by Mrs. Mack. Is there any further discussion on the resolution as presented? Hearing none, the question is called. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the motion is agreed to. Thank you all very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That our next item on the agenda this morning are plans for the Jackson Graham Building lobby artwork. Mr. Tanglerini and Mr. McBride.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. McBride is going to make a brief presentation. There's a session going on, so we'll get Michael to kick it off for us.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. McBride, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you again. I guess we can go right to the slide. As you guys know, the board, when the artwork is funded by Metro, the board has three options, and you select amongst the three. When the artwork is donated, you simply do a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And here we have it. This is a piece. It's a two-part piece by local artist Alex Mayer. It's 10 feet by 30 feet, and it's made of anodized aluminum. It's a low relief. The ellipses and circles are recessed into the panel. So, discussion.
Okay.
It is funded entirely by the D.C. Arts Commission. It's valued at about $150,000.
Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions? Mrs. Mack.
I move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Hudgens.
I do have a comment.
Comments, Mrs. Mack.
I want to thank the D.C. Arts Commission for this work, and this gives me an opportunity to thank them for all the other work that they have donated to Metro. They have certainly done an excellent job in helping to bring art to our stations and to liven it up. This looks like a really interesting piece, although, you know, you never can tell from the pictures. But I am pleased to have the D.C. Arts Commission play this role in bringing art to our stations. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Mr. Lynn, did you
require a vote?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It does.
Yeah, the motion is on the table and second. Is there any other discussion? Chair, hearing none, the question. Did you want the floor?
No, I don't want the floor. And I'm an art collective, by the way, and have advocated art and transit as the Federal Transit Administrator, and we actually encourage this nationally, and I was an advocate for it.
Sure. He doesn't want the floor, but he'll take it anyway.
Right. That's what we're going to say.
Understand. Mr. Deegan.
I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank Mr. McBride for. There's one piece of art that I love in the system, and I talked to you more than I should about it, but for getting the lights back on for the fan at Gowrie Place.
I know.
Well, unfortunately, they're off now because of a timer issue.
You could have just said thank you.
Thank you.
You're too honest, Michael. Okay, with that, the question is called. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the motion is agreed to. The next item on the agenda are information items, and we have one regarding entertainment in the rail stations. Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to kick this one off, and Michael's going to help answer questions along with Murray from the Marketing Department. What we're bringing forward today is an information discussion between us and the board on a policy issue, and we've classified it as entertainment program in our rail system. A couple months ago, we came in front of the board and talked about having a retail program in our system, and we wanted, before we go off and develop a program for entertainment, we wanted to have a discussion with the board and get some feedback as to how we should go about developing the program. Brief, this won't be long, but brief little history. We don't allow any entertainment within our system. It's been that way since the system is opened. And it's been a discussion from time to time amongst the board members, amongst our riders, amongst our the press in the region. And because of the willingness to look at a program for retail, we thought it was time to bring this one back to the board. There are a number of types of avenues that this can go along in terms of entertainment in our system. We've canvassed a number of properties around the United States and around the world and how they do it. They all do it differently. Some of them are good. Some of them are better. Some of them create problems within their system. And so before we went off on ourselves sort of in our own direction, I thought I'd talk about, bring to you some of the discussions that we've had. As you're aware, we do some joint entertainment with promotional entertainment with people around the district, around the region, not in our system but outside our system, whether it's a radio station outside of MCI or whether it's something that's going on around Foggy Bottom that we'll help coordinate, and we have, they can bring entertainment to around our entrance but not in our system because of our regulations. We get some feedback from them. We get some publicity by doing that. We get some, you know, come to their event, take a metro to that event, those types of things that we do with them. And they've been very successful, and they get great feedback from both our riders and the people that are doing it jointly with us. We have our art entertainment program that you just voted one of the items for, where we go out and we get art put in our system where they pick up almost all of the cost and low maintenance and meet all of our guidance. We've got a very specific program about allowing art into our system. There's been a number of instances where we could do the same thing with live entertainment, where there could be sponsors of that, where we could work with the entertainment community in the region in terms of what could or could not be done within our system. There is also a number of local entertainment around our region from time to time that are just outside of our system, whether it's the sax player outside of MCI or whether it's the guitarist or the bass player that was up at Vienna last year. They're there and around our system. they're not necessarily in our system. If we want to bring them into our system, if that's the direction of the board, then we should probably go about and develop a program around that. We have some concerns that we would want to develop the program about. We have concerns about customer access in and out, so we would like to go through our system and identify where it could happen so that it doesn't flow or impede the flow of our customers. We would like to start something like that in the middle of the day. That's the prime time for where we might actually encourage some additional riders for that, and where we've got some ability for that additional riders to ride our system back and forth. But we're concerned about capacity and flow. There are areas that we should be able to do it. There are areas that we shouldn't be able to do it. There are also some safety and security issues that we would like to go through and say, okay, it is fine at these set of locations, and it's not fine in other locations until we learn from that experience. But before we went out and did that exercise about where it could be, we needed some feeling from the board about, do you want entertainment? What type of entertainment, not what type of music, but what type of entertainment? Should it be, you know, there's levels of voice or volume, there's levels of how, what size the group should be, should they be professionals, not professionals? And so we wanted to have this discussion with the board to get your feedback. So I'm going to end. Would you like to add?
Yeah, just very quickly, I wanted to add, following up on our discussion of vending in the stations, we felt that before we move forward on any core proposal, any proposal to the board, we really wanted to have a sense of what the board's kind of bright line test. What we discussed in the vending was a continued support for our no food in the system policy, and that was very helpful and useful direction for us to move forward with our vending proposal. As we explore the possibility of entertainment, it would be equally useful to know from the board what the concerns are so that we could then build that into whatever proposal we could bring back.
Mr. Linton?
Mr. Chairman, I'm once again a very strong supporter of arts and music, and I love music, and I think it does provide a very warm atmosphere and all of that. I have a couple of maybe processes that I think we need to go through as we examine this. One, I've saw in the newspaper where a lot of things that we're doing now called customer first and all of that. I think customer first is really getting the trains on time, getting a reliable service, and allowing our people to move through our system in an efficient way. That's really what customers care about. However, we also are talking, you know, I think there was a discussion at some point about looking at pedestrian flow within the stations. I think we were going to analyze the flow and movement up and down the platforms, looking at e-car trains coming on board, looking at whether we're going to use center escalators going up and down, and all of that. Have we finished that study and that report with recommendations?
We have not finished it. We've done a number of, we've implemented a number of the steps. Some of them are waiting some other processes, the precision stopping, for instance. We're waiting for that before we do some markings on the platform. And the escalator ones, I believe, are done, with the exception of Gallery Place, where we've made a recommendation. And the issue we've run into is the signage we have up there would direct people to a different location, so we're trying to figure out the signage problem.
May not see this as being interrelated, but I do. I think when you start talking about having food service in locations, when you start talking about having music in locations, you're talking about bringing on 8-car trains. We haven't analyzed our traffic flow what we think may be creating a nice atmosphere may in fact be creating a bottleneck if we don't look and examine how we're doing this. So I would be supportive of having something like that done, but only in the context of looking at all the other issues that confront our customer as they're moving through our system. So I would like to see come back at the end of this some recommendations that talks about passenger flow, designated locations where in fact something like this could happen, what's going to happen with the location of the customer kiosks that we're going to offer private sector to come in and offer. I think we need to look at holistically what kind of environment we're providing for the customer to move through our system. I just want to put some process and some focus on how this should be looked at overall. Can't be done individually at all.
I think those are all very good points. Mrs. Hudgens?
I think this is a very interesting and could be a very enjoyable piece to add to the system that we have. The question to me is priorities in terms of what we are looking at this time. That is, we're still dealing with capacity issues. We're dealing with flow issues. And when we look at it in terms of a customer focus, I would wonder, will our customers see us looking at delivering them a service that is needed in the most efficient and effective way in terms of how this is presented? Because it does have, I would assume, some impact on how we'll all incorporate this into the everyday experience of the customer. So I would not like to lose the focus that we have in trying to make the customer's experience as a transit rider the best as possible. And I think until, and I think Mr. Linton really focused on the part that kind of hit me as I looked at it and I thought, well, okay, it's a crowded train, and when I get off, if I see and hear some exciting things, that's great. But the question is, what happens with that basic service that we're trying to deliver? And until we can make sure that we're clear, priority-wise, of how we continue to improve that service, I hope we don't lose our focus on that, and that this can be an addition, just as we've just experienced, as the visual art experience. But I think the visual art experience offers little physical distraction to the customer every day. And I think working through that, to me, is going to be very much, and I think it belongs in planning and development. Personally, it may be a customer-focused piece, but it is a planning and development piece to understand how this can occur. And I think your request is to give you direction, but that would be my concern, that we actually focus it in the sense of priorities of what we can and should be doing at this time in improving and staying on focus to providing good customer service.
I think the reason why we brought this forward is that we recognize that it shouldn't be mutually exclusive from the basic service delivery, but we are looking at the holistic customer experience. And with more and more and more ridership, I mean, just on Tuesday, we set another record. Why? Because I guess it's Tuesday. Making sure that our customers are rewarded for the decision that they've made, and that even, you know, that we find ways to, A, improve the experience, the total experience, and that means the direct service delivery experience. And we'll be coming back to you in July with car assignment proposals, and we're working on other operational proposals to try to deal with capacity, the blue line split discussion, the turning back the turnbacks, if you will, the extension of the yellow line. I don't think that our organization is at such a point that we can't look at several things at the same time and look at the entire customer experience, because I think that that's also important. Rewarding people who have made the decision to ride Metro and giving them a more comfortable experience. This issue of flow, this issue of impeding passengers and accessing the system is a very core issue, and I understand board reservation about it, and that's exactly the kind of feedback we would need to help us actually pursue something if that would be acceptable to the board. I appreciate that.
Mr. Kaufman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, this exercise gives me the chance to say when Dan became general manager, he fell into a burning ring of fire, and we want to do this in a way that he doesn't get stuck in Folsom Prison.
Is there danger?
I just want to say hello. I'm Johnny Cash.
You can really be inside, too.
Every now and then you can. The first item is that certainly I'd like this to be reviewed by our RAC to get the customer input, because this is something that will directly impact our customers, and it's good to vote a great opportunity. There may be great concerns. The second along the lines of Mr. Linton, yeah, I had only pictured this at the entry and exit area outside of the main flow, not on the platform edge, and also want assurance that we wouldn't have performers with cups and open guitar cases. This should be viewed as a privilege to perform, not as a license to make money. Also, When it comes to the review process, we do need to have a review process, and I definitely don't want to be involved in it. Give it to Mikey.
Thanks.
So that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Solomon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kaufman stole some of my comments, so I won't repeat them, but I guess I have an issue about safety concerns, and we certainly want to hear from Chief Hansen and the police department about their views on this issue before any final decision is made. They're not here today, so we can't ask them, but I think that is one of the major overriding factors. Thank you.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes, I certainly echo the concerns that have been raised by the members, but I also want to say that I would like for us to find a way to move forward. See, there's music in our meeting. Okay. I would like for us to explore the possibilities. I think bringing the issue to the RAC is really important because we are talking about our customers and how they would receive this kind of change in the system. And I think you have already looked at other systems where this is being done. There's certainly much to learn from that. It has really been seen as an enhancement and not a distraction. And as long as we can do that and make sure that we don't introduce problems with flow and problems with safety, I would like to see us continue to explore it.
Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan, I want to thank you for bringing this to the board. I think it's long overdue. Shortly after I got on the board, I think I got off at Gallery Place when the escalators were working, Jim. And there was a guy playing a saxophone outside, and I said, man, that's really neat. You know, that, you know, I wonder why we don't have more of this. And then somebody said, well, you know, Deegan, it's illegal. And I said, what? And it's just one of the things that I think it's time that this board kind of change its tune and open itself up to new ideas. And I think it's a great idea. And obviously we have concerns. And I think we have staff here that can meet those concerns and look forward to having that brought back to our board. And I think sooner rather than later. You know, we are in the nation's capital, and it's just be a nice thing to have, you know, as we just voted on pieces of art. This is part of the arts community as well. And as all of you know, and when I ride down here on the subways, I have a tendency to talk to the customers. And I have a lovely young lady sit behind me today, and she started, I introduced myself, and we were chatting about other things, and she immediately brought up, well, you're going to allow music in the subway. And I said, well, I certainly hope so. If I have my way, we will. And I think, you know, I think that's a reaction you're going to see from our customers, that they're for this type of activity in the subways. And obviously, we don't want to create bottlenecks or anything. But I think it can be worked out, and Dan, I again applaud you for bringing this to the board. Thank you.
Mr. Kaufman has asked for a second bite of the apple.
Just very briefly, I just spoke with Mr. Sheehan, and one of the items is certainly bring it to the RAC, but also to the Elderly and Disabled Committee.
Yes.
Because particularly for our blind customers, some sound can be very distracting.
Yeah, we already have recognized the fact that not only are there issues with sound distraction, but also paths and people's traditional routes. We don't want to do anything that would in any way impede anyone's path, a path that maybe they've established over some time as well. So we absolutely have to recognize those issues, and we will, and we'll work with the E&D committee.
Mr. Lynn.
Second bite. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to go on record, so I want to make sure that particularly the listening public and those who are here not get the sense that this is something that we don't think is a great idea in terms of conceptually, because I think, you know, as I said earlier, I support the arts, and I think it conceptually a great idea. And even though other systems have it, and I've been experiencing mostly all of those that do, including the ones in Europe and London and Paris and other places, But our system has unique challenges that are in front of us, and we have to look at everything in the context of our unique challenges. And the crowdingness, the increase in ridership, the flow of passengers, our concerns about entering and accessing cars, moving through our corridors, are challenges that are unique to us, and you can't compare them to Paris, London, or anywhere else. So what we do here has to be examined in the context of that. And I think as we look at this, as long as we keep it in that context, we work out those issues that have been identified by all of the board members here, I think this would be a productive act.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn. I'd like to add, I think that, you know, as one travels, if you go through world-class cities, it's pretty commonplace. I mean, in Paris, Montreal has a tremendous music community in their subway system. And it's like part and parcel of the character of the city. I think it's a great idea, and we should have it. The one exception that I'll take to some of the comments that were made, though, is my friend from Fairfax County, who wanted to be very magnanimous in not dealing with money in the issue. And as you know, I probably would like to deal with money in the issue. I think that we're talking about retail and opposing retail opportunities within the system for vending products. There's no difference in, you know, artists, or, you know, you hear of starving artists, but you'd rather that they not be, and that the artists are out there to provide a service and a product as well, and if they can make money doing that, all the better. Some people would even say that architects are artists that deserve to have a profit as well and shouldn't be doing it for free. So I think that that it's a great idea.
Is that an inside joke too, Bob?
Now, the thing is, though, that when we allow these folks, just as we allow someone to sell other products, would be it a shoe shine or a laundry service to make a product, and then we benefit from that product service as well, in this situation, we also should benefit. And the point that I want to make is that we are very careful not to be deceived by the overall character of the community that might provide this service relative to the amount of money they're taking in, and that we understand that we market that properly in terms of our profit potential out of it as well. And I raise two points. One, I noticed Mitch isn't with us this morning at the press table, but TOP certainly ran a piece about a month ago on this where they interviewed some of these folks that are providing, and the phrase came up that in certain circumstances they wouldn't be able to count the money fast enough. Now, that was on the air on TOP. So I want to make sure that we are not deceived to think that, oh, gee, that these people are indigent and we need to help them out in some way, because indeed they're making a profit. And the second point I would make is I am a native Washingtonian, and when I was a boy and we came down to shop on F Street and down 7th Street, we'd come up from Cannes to Landsberg's to Hex and then go down F Street all the way down to Garfinkel's at the other end via Woody's and all the shops in between. There was an organ grinder daily on the streets of Washington.
The monkey?
In warm weather. You didn't see him in January. Okay. And the organ grinder was there, and you know, parents would with their children, you know, help the organ grinder out, his poor little monkey and such, and it was very cute, and it was nice entertainment. And you know, when the organ grinder died, there was an obituary in the Washington Post, and the obituary noted about his retirement home in Florida, where he was enjoying his retirement and where he had enjoyed his winters during the time that he had provided the service of organ grinding on up and down F Street and 7th Street in the retail core. So let us not lose sight of the fact that there is a marketplace and there is a profit potential that we should well tap into and have the right to, in so much as it's our property. Any other comments? Mr. Graham, can't resist now.
Well, I wonder what happened to the monkey.
I'm sure there's a group that's taking up his cause in some place.
Buy one of those condos in your district.
Stole the pen for
it. I like music. I do have a somewhat related question. That was my full statement.
I'm sorry.
I did. There's something related, if you will indulge me, and I see that we have a vacuum. we're all anxious to go. But, you know, I'm speaking about the interior of station, I just want to be sure that our new vending opportunities within the station, you know, that we're going to make a real effort for small startup business, and that this is not an opportunity for Macy's to bring in its, you know, its recreation line or whatever. I mean, there was really an opportunity here for us to help the small entrepreneur, and I just, I don't think this has been mentioned as publicly as I would like it to be mentioned, so I'm only going to mention it.
Yeah, it's an issue that's kind of come up since we actually moved forward on our vending proposal, and so we don't have any really clear and specific guidance from the board on how we would go about how we would go about evaluating these alternatives, other than looking at the proposals and looking at the potential revenue and the services that are being offered. Now, it's our interest to open the vending as widely as possible, and it would be great if we got startups and if we got small business people involved. I just don't know, from a purposes of the staff standpoint, if we have a goal in mind, if we're supposed to go out and encourage people to bring their businesses in. We think at one level it would be great if Macy's came along. Other businesses did too.
Well, I can. One of these stations is in at least one is in the District of Columbia. It's across the street from more than one,
right,
which is Georgia Avenue, Petworth. And since this was announced, a number of people have said, you know, gosh, we hope this is an opportunity for us, and it's not just, you know, so that the little guy can crack at this. And I don't know whether we need to bring this to whatever committee it is that has this for a little bit better, you know, focus on what we're looking for here. But since it hadn't been mentioned, I've been meaning to mention it.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Mr. Lynn.
Mr. Chairman, I think one, we should be careful in terms of identifying names as we talk about this, and two, because I think it's the concept that Mr. Graham is suggesting, and not the particular store. So I think we should be mindful of that. And two, I think we also should recognize that we will have some contracts, some legal guidelines in terms of how that's drawn up. So I think we need to be careful about how we present opportunities for people to participate in this, and have to be guided by law.
I just wanted to add on to that, because having had requests once we made this announcement, that I would urge that we broadly reach out to that community, because I think sometimes when we get further out, out of the core of the region, we sort of miss some of those other small businesses that are very anxious to be a part of.
Yeah, interestingly enough, approaching the Shady Grove station this morning, there was a gentleman singing and playing electric guitar outside the station. I of course, wondered somewhat if it was a prop for today's action, you know, as we were coming by. But, you know, so even out as far as Shady Grove, there are some folks trying to provide entertainment in the arts. Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, we've gotten a lot of good feedback telling us sort of to go ahead, but be careful. What we'll do, sort of take this back. We have an internal group. It's operations people. It's Michael. It's our marketing people. It's our safety and security people and our council people. And we'll put some parameters around what we heard. We'll get some input from Iraq, from the JCC, from the E&D committee, so that when we come forward, it does require actions from the board. There are use regulations that we have that must be changed for us to allow us to do this. There are probably some local ordinances, depending upon what we do and don't do with money acceptance, the cup issue, that has to be done at the local issue. So we will bring all of these back. I'm not sure we got tremendous clarity on whether or not we put the cup out or not. But we can develop some programs around to get some more input and come back to the board with the beginnings of a program.
And I'd like to add to that we would then make sure that we involve the E&D committee, the RAC, and our safety community as well, our security and safety community. And I think that will speak volumes about whether there's a cup or not out there, really, is the concerns that might be raised. And explore then maybe options of just a limited introduction, perhaps, understanding how it works, and a decision later on, perhaps, whether we expand or continue it at all. Also, on the vending issue, I recognize this concern. We are going to do whatever we can, and I'll go back and make sure that we are reaching out as broadly as possible. Looking at the actual contractual documents, there were some statements that the documents were so overbearing and inscrutable that they would be impossible for people to get through. That doesn't appear on its face necessarily to be true, but there are issues with our contracting mechanisms overall that need a good, solid bit of scrutiny. So
how many pages is the application?
It's not 100. It's that was the claim. It's substantially less than that. I can get back to you with
80.
Again, I don't know.
Anyway, that's the point. I mean, we create such hurdles for you know people that right. You know they just throw their hands up.
Recognize that this is a pilot project. It's 12 stations initially. So what we're trying to do, I think we made it 13 actually. We added one. At the request of the committee. What we're trying to do is find out what the issues, what works, what doesn't work. So I think we'll come back to the board with what we've found, even on the proposal level and our recommendation. And that's another opportunity to evaluate whether we've done sufficient reach out, whether the methodology we use to determine you know, who the winner is, if you will, is consistent with the board's interests. And whether our process is actually streamlined enough to encourage people to involve themselves. If anyone's listening, if anyone knows anyone who's interested in this, we would strongly encourage them to participate in this program.
Okay, and in terms of your process, Mr. Hughes, I mean, I have no strong pride of fiefdom here in response to Mrs. Hudgens' suggestion. If conceptually dealing with the issue, you need to go to planning and development and deal with it as an issue under that venue where most of us are the same people, that's fine. And if you need to deal with use regulations here, whatever general counsel says where it goes, that's fine. Whatever you have to do to affect the action. With that, is there any further, Mrs. Mack?
Well, I have something that's completely off the subject, but.
So we're closed with that item?
Yes.
Okay, so then Mrs. Mack, other business that you might have?
Now, Mr. Tangalini, I know you told your staff to give us brief presentations, and I think that sometimes in order to make them brief, they reduce the fund. I thought it was my eyes at first, but could we just have a standard, nothing's less than 12?
Yes, ma'am.
Some of this gets really hard to read. So
I guess there's two ways to get, I guess you can make
brief.
It small or you can make it brief.
Let's make it brief.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other issues to come before the committee? The chair hearing none, will stand adjourned until the next meeting that is not yet established, I think. So. Thank you. Board will meet at 11.
When's the last time we had that?